This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
That music means Tech Talk is underway on this Saturday, and we're on the air, sports schedules permitting, between 3 and 4 o'clock on Saturdays. And we're always pleased to be joined by Doug Swinhart. And here's a friendly reminder. Get in early. It's inevitable. We always get calls, texts at the end of the show that we can't get to. So get in early. And here is the number on our talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, good to visit with you on this windy, chilly day.
Oh, but its weather is nice. I have no complaints about this winter at all, Steve. I think they all should be like this.
Yeah.
It's just been wonderful.
Yeah, no doubt. But like I say, a chill in the air today and a little windy. It is still the middle of March. 45 degrees right now here in the Twin Cities. Northwest winds at 20 gusts to 36 miles an hour. And we do want to get this out there. And it is important that there is a red flag warning in effect. And critical fire weather conditions across much of central and southern Minnesota because of the winds and the dry temps. So, once again, any flame outdoors, very bad deal today. We have a red flag warning for much of central and southern Minnesota. And look at the map here real quickly. It does include much of the Twin Cities metro area. Points to the north and east, not under that red flag warning, but extends from Red Wing through Minneapolis, St. Paul, up to St. Cloud, and then points west all the way out to the South Dakota border. So be aware of that. All right, Doug, let's get started here right at the top of the show and get into some very important topics. And once again, I don't know about you, but in my inbox this week, I saw a lot of suspicious emails with a lot of attachments begging me to click on these attachments. I didn't bite. We brought it up on the show before, but people, be very leery of emails if you're not darn sure before you click on that attachment. We can't bring it up enough, in my opinion.
No, phishing across the internet, and that's phishing, has just exploded in email the last several weeks. And last week, same thing. Now, my email at Proton filters it out beforehand, but I can go and look at it. It's amazing what has been filtered. And they're sophisticated. They look good. Your delivery didn't make it. You paid for the article. Click here to find out how to get it. On. And especially seniors. Never ever give your social security number out over the email, or the phone for that matter. They will never ask you for passwords or social security numbers or driver's license numbers or bank routing numbers. Nobody in their right mind and business will ever ask you for that unless you're in person, face to face, and that's it. Just be aware and use some common sense. That's the only thing we have.
Yeah, and you know, some of the emails, you know, are very convincing. And then I get texts along these lines as well. Big one seems to be coming in via text is eBay, and another one is PayPal. And I do have a PayPal account, and I've had it for years, and they do a really good job. And I've also had an eBay account, same eBay account, for a long, long time. And I've been able to buy radio gear and, you know, kind of get the home studio set up and use stuff for play-by-play. So I do use eBay a fair amount. to get good used equipment. I've had very good luck with it over the years. But on my phone, via text, I will get something. This is eBay. You need to get a hold of us right away or click here on this link. Even in a text, don't do it. Don't take the bait.
No. And emails that are coming in for eBay, too. It's, your account has been compromised. Click here to change your password. Don't do it. That link does not go to eBay. That goes, I'm not sure what it does, but don't do it. And the same with PayPal. If they are telling you there's something wrong with your login credentials, log in your normal way and go and take a look at your account. Do not accept the automatic link within the email or even the text for that matter at this point. And these guys are getting sophisticated to the point, Steve, where you may get an email and a text within the same hour from the same people. That's how sophisticated they're getting. That's bad. That really makes it look legitimate as well. When in doubt, don't. Just find another way to check it out. Or do nothing. Because if it's nothing, eBay or PayPal will get a hold of you. But I can't believe that eBay or PayPal, either one, has had any compromisation of their accounts. I just don't believe it. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, and once again, your phone number is floating around out there. It's probably on a list somewhere. Your cell phone number, etc., email address, we all know how that works. But I just thought we'd open this show again with a reminder. Be very, very careful with this sort of stuff. It's just critically important to not give out personal information. And Doug, your advice is so good. If you get something like this, don't respond to that, but go and check your PayPal account. Go check your eBay account. Go check your Amazon account. Amazon is another one where you get these, I'm not so sure about this. And then you go to your Amazon account, and everything looks fine, and things appear to be normal. So it is critically important on inbound emails, inbound texts, and certainly if someone calls you and wants personal information, there should be warning lights going off.
Yeah, we're not seeing so much telephone activity as we used to, which is a good thing. But the email and the text are just at an all-time high lately.
Yeah, it is. So be very leery of that. We invite you to get a hold of us on the talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And let's go to the text line to get started on the program today. When I manually set my Windows 10 computer into sleep mode, it doesn't seem to go to sleep. It just brings up the login screen. But the hard disk activity light on the tower still keeps blinking all night long, and my antivirus program still does scans. Even though the user's manual says it won't do scans while the computer is asleep, what could be going on?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Could be hardware or software. I don't know if I actually agree with sleep so much. I would suggest that this individual put it into standby. Then it'll be okay. Your antivirus will still work in standby, and then it'll go back into standby. And it takes just seconds. I would suggest do a little research on that and try that first. If that doesn't work, they got to get into the BIOS, and there's a conflict between the hardware settings for the energy savings and the software settings. One or the other's got to take precedence, and I think that's probably the big thing they're dealing with, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, and Doug, that brings up a bigger question, and we can follow up on this after the break, and I think it is important. When do you shut all the way down? And that's true with computers, cell phones, tablets, etc. And when do you just let it sit? We'll get into that following the break. When to shut down and when to let it go to sleep, go into standby mode, sit there idle. We'll get into that important topic. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug, computers, hardware, software, whatever, 651-461-9226. Great way is text, comes right into the studio. Another great way is get on the phone and you'll visit with producer Josh Wheeler, and he'll put you through as well here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart aboard. My name is Steve Thompson. Producer Josh Wheeler. Red flag warning is up, and that is because it is dry, and it is really windy. And this red flag warning is really from the cities all the way west into South Dakota. And it includes Red Wing, Minneapolis, St. Paul, St. Cloud, Morris, Wilmer, Mankato, down to Albert Lea, and then back toward Worthington, Marshall, and as I mentioned, all the way into South Dakota for very strong winds and dry conditions. So be very careful today. And we'll get into the weather in more details here in about 10 minutes or so. Doug, before the break, wanted to bring up something, and I think it is important, and that was that person talking about their computer not going into sleep mode properly. But but in reality, we've talked about this a lot. On a Friday at the end of the day at my full-time job, I shut down my computer and monitor all the way down and let it take the weekend off. And at home, for instance, I'll shut down computers if I know I'm not going to use them for the next day or two, shut them all the way down. The big one is the cell phone, which people have a tendency to run those 24/7, but on the weekend, whether it's a Friday night or a Saturday night, plug it into charge all night, shut it all the way down, and just give it the night off.
As far as I'm concerned, what you've just described is best practices for electrical devices. That's right on the money. If you know you're not going to be using your computer, shut it down. It's not like it used to be where, keep them running. When computers first came out, the composites used for the motherboard used to expand and contract when they would heat and cool down, and that would cause them to crack. Those days have been long gone for 25-plus years. The composites they use today, they're not going to do any of that. So shut it down. Save the electricity, even though it's probably minimal. Just shut it down. I agree with that really a lot. Now, smartphones especially. You may even, at the very, very least, do a complete restart at least once a week. But that still does not have the same effect as shutting it down completely, letting it cool down, and firing it up 24 hours later or 12 hours later even. It does make a big difference on the consistency and how these things connect to your providers, your internet. It's huge. This is big, big, big with devices. And I think that people need to pay more attention to this. I truly believe that. And this also goes for your modems and your routers that connect to your internet providers as well. Bare minimum for a Comcast, you want to shut that thing down for at least an hour, at least once a month. I do mine twice a month. Sunday night, just shut it down. Monday morning, get up early, fire it up before anybody wakes up, and we're good to go. I think this is very important for all electronic devices.
Yeah, and I think the shutting down, like during the week, for instance, at work, I'll pretty much leave the computer running all week. Come in on a Monday, fire it up, and let it run through the week, and then shut it down on Friday. Occasionally, I'll go in on the weekend and get a little work done with nobody around, and I'll power it up, but then I'll power it right back down. And that doesn't harm those. I think people, though, have a tendency to leave things running all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that isn't a good thing. And with smartphones, I've had really good luck, and you and I have brought this up before. For instance, I did it Friday night, did what I was going to do, and then it's like, all right, it's time to set this thing aside and plug it in and let it charge and shut her all the way down.
And you bet.
Let it go
overnight. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I really couldn't agree more. And I've owned Android, now I got an iPhone, and it's the same. I think all these electrical devices, they require a shutdown. At minimum once a week, and doesn't hurt if you do it even more often than that, but they do have to be rebooted and shut down at least once a week, in my opinion.
Yeah, and there's another one, the tendency, I know laptops are meant to be portable, but for many they sit in one spot and they remain plugged in all the time. Take those things off the charger, run them without the charger, move them all the way down, drain that battery all the way to the point where you're getting a warning, and then plug it back in. That's not a bad thing either.
Oh, no, that's an absolute must. And the more power it's draining, the more important it is to get these batteries trained from the beginning, full charge, run down to absolutely nothing. And they say once is enough. I like doing it three or four times to make certain. And run them down to absolutely, and usually when we say run down to nothing, they will shut it down automatically when there's still 10% of the energy left back in the in these lithium batteries. Nonetheless, get them all the way down, then charge it all the way up with the unit off, and do it again at least three times, and you will see how that will make the life of your battery expand. And in addition to that, you got to do it from time to time. I'm thinking once every 2 months at least with a laptop or a notebook. You know, when your battery is the never used, just stays at that 80% total capacity, which most of them charge 80% now, so they don't do the overload thing.
Yep.
But they'll go to 80%, and when you never let it go down below that, that's hard on your battery. You're better off to take the battery out if you can, but most of them are inside on the computers now, so the only choice you got is to run it down to nothing, shut it down, and recharge it. And that little bit of maintenance will probably add years of life to your battery on your portable units. I really believe that.
Doug, here's a follow-up. In response to a previous question, put it into standby. They said there's no option for standby on Windows 10. The only options they have are sleep, sign out, shut down, and restart.
I'd shut it down if that's the case. Windows has been changing like this. Now, see, Linux gives you this standby, which really is the cream de la creme, I think. But it's different than sleep. Sleep is kind of always active, looking for something. And it's just not the same. But this party that's having this done, I would just take a look and see what's happening and shut it down. You're better off just to shut it down if there's even ever a question, especially if it has a tendency of turning your monitor on when nobody's around. That's the worst. You don't want that monitor on ever unless somebody's sitting in front of it. And this is more than just personal opinion. This is the biggest battery drain in all portables is the display. It really is. So, yeah, keep an eye on that for sure. And remember, you can do it inside the BIOS, but you have to do a little learning wherever that computer came from to do your power management really from a hardware level. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But there's something that's confused on that computer for sure. And thank you so much for the text. I like that.
Yeah, and here's a good one about Malware Bytes we want to get to before the break. Have Malware Bytes Premium. Tried calling them for the support. Their automated message says that they need to enter a PIN ID, which is located under Contact Us page in the admin console. But the person couldn't find it there. Any ideas?
They're going through some changes at Malware Bytes. I haven't heard this yet. This is new. But I know that they're going through some changes. They've actually made a division in the business now, and they're naming Malware Bytes for a business. It's now named ThreatDown, and it's Peer Enterprise. And they seem to be putting more of a push on the free version of Malware Bytes, but they still, you can purchase it in three different levels. And I think they're going through some transitions. I think that PIN number might have something to do with the transition that they're under, but I'm not sure how to get a hold of them. But I do know that if you have trouble getting a hold of them, just go to Get Human and put them in, and Get Human will get a hold of them, and they'll get back to you with an email probably within a day or so. And you hate to have to do that, but when you have no choice, you have no choice.
Yeah, and if they're asking you for a PIN and they're making it really difficult to find it, that can be extremely frustrating, for sure.
Yeah, it really can. And it could be something they don't know what's going on yet either. I mean, their website has gone through massive changes. And I can see a little glitch coming up, but something like that, that's not a little glitch. That's huge.
Yeah.
That will, in my mind, that will drive customers away faster than anybody because it looks like a game. And people don't like to be gamed. They just, you know, just be upfront with us and we'll pay our money and you do what you promise. Pretty simple. And something like this comes up, and it can create an image, even if it's not true, that will stay with people forever. I think they need to correct that post-haste.
Quick break, and we'll have more Tech Talk coming up. By the way, if you want to reach Doug via phone or via text, feel free to do that, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. That is our Talk and Tech sign, and it's good for all our programs, 7 days a week, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. When we come back, we'll talk Windows 11. Someone has a question about that. Much, much more here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
CCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swin, the Heart Aboard, through 4 o'clock today, following the news and weather at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, Jess Myers from The Rink Live, Golden Gopher Women, in the quarterfinals of the NCAA tournament today at Clarkson. Meanwhile, the men play Michigan in the Big Ten tournament at home at 3M Arena at Mariucci. Big Ten tournament championship Saturday of the girls' state tournament underway. 2A title game at Williams Arena tonight, 3A and 4A. And Doug, let's get back to a busy text line. How do you open your documents in Windows 11? I can't seem to find it listed. That seems unusual.
Oh, it does indeed. They should have a folder underneath their Windows Explorer that says documents.
Yep.
And they should all be in there, or at least the majority of them. That should not be an issue at all. It makes me wonder if they've got some kind of a word processor installed, which some versions of Windows don't come with Microsoft Office. Most of them come with a trial, but I've seen them where they've actually been removed. And if that's the case, just download LibreOffice and go from there. In fact, I download that and install it and use that for your custom. But that documents folder must be underneath your Windows Explorer. And it's also got to show up underneath your user and your username underneath on Drive C as well, or Drive D, depending on how you're configured. But that's an absolute must. I think somebody has deleted that folder. That's what I think. And that would be not good news.
Yeah, that is bad. Is it something that can be easily recreated? Because you can create folders and keep things organized. It's kind of like the old file cabinets and file folders within that. It's super important to keep your stuff organized. We bring it up time and time again about backing up your data. But when you back up that data, have it organized so you can make sense of it when you're looking for something.
Oh, no doubt. I actually we use the term backup, but I do full copies of data only. I don't take any operating system, no antivirus, none of my software that I purchased. I back up strictly my work, and it doesn't take long at all. And that's really the way. When you get to that point, I think you're an advanced user, in my opinion. The thing is, with this particular folder, the documents folder, you can create folders all day long. But there's a part of this that's actually a system folder that needs to go under properties and do some extra work to make it so it works properly in Windows Explorer. Because it's actually like a shortcut in Explorer that takes you directly to your user and shows your documents. That's huge. I would be worried about documents being missing at this point. And I think that computer needs some work.
Yeah, and that certainly is a big deal. And those folders like that are kind of pre-installed, if you will, you don't want to mess with those.
Well, they're special folders. The operating system uses those in such a way to where it looks like a folder, but it's more than that. It's actually a shortcut and a folder all in one. When you look at it, there's that top section in Windows Explorer on nearly every version of Windows that I can think of since 7. And it shows documents and downloads and videos and music. And that actually ties together to your actual folders underneath users and that buried into your root directory. So, yeah, it's important to understand that process. But if somebody took that out, that's going to take some extra work to put that back together.
Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart joining us here at News Talk, K3O WCCO. If you want to visit with Doug, easy way to get through, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. That is good for a call. If you get through the studio, it'll be Josh Wheeler, and you can text. That'll come right into the studio today. Doug, here's a good one. Thanks for the Prevazor recommendation. Happy user with that. Why don't we talk about that real quick before we run out of the time on the program? What does Prevazor do, and why is it important for Windows users?
Well, to put it in simple terms, it's a super cleaner. It will take out all your temp files and organize all your files, and go through things that people would never think to even look for or check for. Shell bags, for example. And it's more than that, because it actually should be used as a learning tool. When you see something in Prevazor that you might not completely understand, run a search on Google and watch, and you will quickly find that Prevazor is absolutely, I think, a must-have for every Windows user. But you're looking at sometimes acceleration speeds of 15, 20% increases. And that's not unusual. By just installing Prevazor in a machine, running it, let it clean itself, and let that thing do its thing. When you're done, you restart. It's amazing the difference. I can't say enough good things about Prevazor. And when you get to you like it as much as I do, donate to the cause. Let's keep this project moving forward. That's my advice. I love that program. Yeah, we'll good things to say about it.
Yeah, we'll spell it out. Prevazor. And once again, it's a cleanup tool, a privacy tool, etc. And once again, a huge deal, especially if you run Windows. Prevazor. And if you want to talk to Doug about that during the week and ask more about it, we'll have Doug's phone number and email a little bit later on in the program. Also from our text line today, some good ones. How do I back up documents to a zip folder? They said zip drive. I haven't heard that term in a while, but how do I back up documents to a zip folder?
Well, you just gotta take your documents and you gotta create a zip file first. And the zip folder, I'm not sure where that came from. I just do it as a zip file. And if you want to do it that way. But disk space is at no more a premium, and you know, compressing your files really isn't as necessary as it used to be. I think I would just teach these people how to do a copy and a paste and put that baby over on some other media, preferably a cloud account and an external hard drive, and then a third copy on your computer, bare minimum. But disk space today is at an all-time low cost, and they're good drives. You go buy an external drive today, it's probably the last external drive you'll buy. You can get a terabit spinner drive, which is just fine for backups. $20-$30 today? See, they're just dirt cheap.
Tech Talk, Doug Swindahart joining us. Hey, let's go to the phone lines right now. It is Phil in Northeast Minneapolis. Phil, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hey, Steve, thank you. First of all, I'd like to say I love hearing you on the radio on Saturday. You are so knowledgeable on so many topics that make great radio.
Oh, thank you.
My question, Doug, would be I'm an old guy. Got a laptop. I don't use it for much. I just kind of browse around, you know, and look at email, and I don't use it for much at all. Mm-hmm. But I'm using a laptop that I purchased from a pawn shop 10 years mm-hmm. ago. I believe it's got Windows 10, mm-hmm. and it's really slow, and I'm looking to get something, buy a new one. Just like I said, I don't use it for much. Just wondering if you could recommend something inexpensive that would kind of meet my needs.
Oh, Phil, Phil, your choices, Phil, are almost endless. I'm going to ask you to give me a call sometime next week, and we'll have the number at the end. We'll discuss this at great length, show you how I would go about this, and how you could check them out a little bit, and what you're using, and your price budget, and we'll get you taken care of that way. But your choices are so many. It really isn't something we should go on radio. Yeah, it's such an individual thing, and I'd like to help you get the exact right unit that you're looking for. But give me a call next week, and I'll be more than happy to take care of this for you.
All right, very good. Thanks, Phil, and stick around. We'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the show, and he'll be able to get in touch next week. Yeah. And once again, we'll do that at the end of the program today. Doug, we've had some more texts on the concept of shutdown, sleep, and here's what I've found, and I think it gets back to what I do at the end of the day at work, for instance, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, I do a complete shutdown at my full-time job. But what I do during the week is I still close programs before I leave. The computer is there idle. My main monitor will shut down, and the monitor on the laptop will shut down. And I like to call it the computer's just idling. You can call it what you want, sleep, resting, whatever. It shouldn't be doing anything.
That's correct.
I'm not a huge fan of overnight, even though my computer gets to the point because of security at work. We've got to log back in other words. And that's right. True at a lot of businesses. If you walk away, your computer will go into a rest mode, and you've got to log back in. So, you know, someone wandering around can't go, oh, here's an open computer, I'm going to see what they're doing, et cetera. It's a security issue. But even in that mode at the end of the day, I still shut off my programs, even if I don't shut the computer all the way down.
I do that every night. I think it's smart. We don't always know what these programs, as much as we like them, and we can trust them to no end. We don't know. We don't know that somebody ain't going to hack into something in the middle of the night. Who knows? But why take the chance? It's just so easy just to shut them all down. You hit the little X and bang, 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 bang. Even if you got 20 of them open, you can shut those programs down completely in less than a minute. I like that idea. I've been doing that for years, and I kind of thought maybe I was the only one. It's good to see that other professionals are operating on that level as well. I agree with that. As far as your computer releasing itself from the network, that's your network administrator. I think that's good best practice as well. If you have no activity, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, your computer should be released from the internet, and it should be released from the network completely. Just for safety, and probably never going to happen, but if somebody got in the office that wasn't supposed to be there, or a janitor or something decided to play around, who knows? You know, the world is what it is today, and just gotta make all the amends you can. It's just good practice. I'm glad to hear that your company's set up like that too. That's smart. That's the way it should be. And most businesses today are set up just like that because it's best practice. That's really good.
Yeah, where someone else doesn't have access to your machine if you get up and walk away and get a cup of coffee or go to the bathroom or go visit with a coworker, whatever the case may be, they can't have unprotected machines open on the network. I mean, it's just an extremely bad idea. But, you know, in reality, at home you should be safe. But I still think if you're going to leave the computer running, programs should be shut down if you're going to be away for an extended period of time. Doug, from our text line before we take a break, Windows 10 home on desktop, I keep getting a pop-up for Windows backup. I already have two copies of a backup. That's good news. Is it worth using the Windows version of a backup?
I don't like it. I really don't. I would just go right into services, open up a run box, type in services, SERVICES.MSC, Microsoft Services Console. Hit that baby. It's alphabetical on the left side. Just roll down and find Windows Backup, double-click on it, and disable it. Close up services and restart, you're good to go. I don't care for it. It does some kind of compression stuff and does some things that I just don't go for. PersonHub obviously has already taken care of saving their data. They got two copies. They certainly don't need this annoyance coming from Microsoft. And it's just another control thing that I don't think is necessary. If you're doing the work, you're doing just fine.
All right, quick break. We'll have more Tag Talk in a moment. Still time to get in on the program. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We have someone with an operating Windows 7 machine, and we'll get Doug's thoughts on that when we come back here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tag Talk, great show today. Doug Swinhart. By the way, all our shows are available at the website, WCCORadio.com. So if you didn't catch part of the show today, it will be available online. Check out the podcast, WCCO Tag Talk with Doug Swinhart. Once again, check out those podcasts anytime at 65, or I should say in our phone number here, 651-461-9226. Still time to get in on the program today. All right, Doug, here's a good one. My old HP desktop works well, but it has Windows 7. It will not update. Is this a salvageable machine or junk?
Oh, it's absolutely salvageable. At worst case scenario, you'd put Linux on it, which is not a bad alternative. But I'm quite certain that one will take new versions of Windows as well. Just needs a little tweaking, a little playing around, and possibly a new solid-state drive. But yeah, that's definitely doable. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Doug, that's one where you'd love to help someone with that project. I mean, this is something you've done a ton of over the years, and these old machines, if they're working good, they can still be outstanding machines with Linux and be a very reliable internet appliance. Get out on the internet, do all sorts of stuff with that machine.
Oh, indeed. And in fact, the older machines, they did things different when they were selling these as far as the numbers when they're talking about the speed of a processor, for example. Today we hear about up to 4 gigahertz and up to 5 gigahertz. I want to know the base speed on that. I want to know the slowest it'll go. If it's less than 2.0 or 2.5, I'm not so certain I'm even interested in it. There's a lot of older machines out there that are 3.0 gigahertz machines, and that's the only speed they run. Yes, they use a little bit more electricity, but they're rock solid, yeah, stable. I'm not so in tune with all this throttling of speed under the guise of, well, it's saving power. I think it's hard on equipment. I really do. I think it creates unnecessary heat. Some of these older machines are, in my opinion, are actually better than the new ones. So watch what you're buying and make certain that you get your money's worth.
Yeah, and I think this is an example of a machine. No reason to get rid of it. This is a very useful machine. We'll have Doug's phone number and email. And once again, it is something a do-it-yourselfer can do, make the move over to a Linux machine.
Oh, you know, I help people on the phone with that, but if they need help, this is absolutely my wheelhouse. And I don't think there's so many people doing this anymore, although it's much easier today than it used to be. There's really, if you can hang on to a screwdriver and you're comfortable getting inside the damn thing, you don't have any problem at all upgrading it. Not at all.
Yeah, and beyond that, first thing you want to do is back up your data, make sure that's safe and set aside, and then away you go. So that is an outstanding project. And Doug, finally on the program today, and we talked for a moment about back up your data. Do yourself a favor. It's cold. It's windy. Not allowed to do outside yet. Do yourself a favor. Back up your data.
Oh, absolutely. Even if you did it a week ago, do it again.
Yeah.
Just make sure. Make sure it's all there. Make sure it's accessible in case you need it. Nobody ever checks to make sure they got their things copied. I think that a dry run, just a practice run of, okay, let's pretend that my hard drive crashed and I got to redo it. If you can replace everything, you are in good shape. And people really should take the time to do that. It's really a good idea. Then you know for sure that you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, and it's played out in such a way to where you can replicate your system in no time at all.
Yeah, and once again, a copy, an external hard drive is great. Somewhere up in the cloud is even better. And there are a lot of paid services out there. They're very reputable that'll go in and back up your computer on a night where you leave it running, and they'll back up your data overnight.
Oh, exactly. Big thing with this is, again, you want to make sure what you're telling that company to get. You know, just get your documents, get your music, get your whatever
photos,
you can't replace.
Videos, yeah.
Yep, videos, but especially pictures. You know, these are precious moments of family time, and it's absolutely critical that we take care of those. We sometimes take the digital world for granted. Well, it's just so easy to get them. You know, it's not like we had film before. That we kind of lose track of, let's make sure that we can get to them later down the road. And I think that that's important that we have that ability to do that. But bare minimum is 3 full copies. You got one working copy on your computer, one on an external storage, probably an external hard drive or something of that nature, and at least up in one cloud account. And your Google account will allow you enough space to where nearly everybody has enough to save at least their important data up in the clouds. Apple, iCloud, and HP offers a cloud service now when you purchase it. And you're going to see more and more of this coming. The paid services are automatic, and they do, I'm going to tell you right out, a better job for less effort on your part. But everybody should be thinking in terms, bare minimum of 3 full copies. That's my opinion.
All right, we got to run, Doug. Phone number and email.
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, at wccotech.com. WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. Thank you, Steve. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. Great job today. We have all the news, all the weather coming up at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, and then we'll go to the rink live with Jess Myers here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.